This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Air disaster in Asia. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Monday, October 29. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
An Indonesian plane with 189 people on board crashed earlier today shortly after taking off from Jakarta.
A vigil is held in Pittsburgh to mourn the dead and wounded following a massacre at a synagogue.
The man accused of sending explosive packages to well-known Democrats is due in court today. Meanwhile, find out what investigators found in his van.
In sports, the Red Sox beat the Dodgers to capture the World Series. Steve Pearce was named MVP, joining Babe Ruth is only the third player over the age of 35 to hit two home runs in a World Series game.
Sure, yeah, that's great company. You know, those guys are the best, and you know, if my name gets to, you know, sit right next to theirs, I mean, I know I've accomplished something.
Fourth title in 15 seasons for the Sox. Details in about 13 minutes. Airplane disaster overseas today. An Indonesian jet with 189 people on board crashed into the sea shortly after taking off from the capital of Jakarta. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Lion Air flight JT610 was en route to another region in Indonesia when it lost contact with ground officials 13 minutes after takeoff. At least 23 government officials were on board the plane, which was headed to a tin mining region. An air navigation spokesman told Reuters that the new Boeing 737 MAX 8 tried to turn back to Jakarta. Items such as smartphones and life vests were found in waters about 100 feet deep near where the plane went down. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Lion Air, a privately owned company founded in 1999, said in a statement that the aircraft was airworthy. It went into operation in August, and its pilot and co-pilot had combined for 11,000 hours of flying time. The massacre, considered to be the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in U.S. history, has exposed a world of online hate postings. Saturday morning's ambush that killed 11 people and injured 6 at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh has also put synagogues across the country on lockdown. The victims ranged in age from 54 to 97. A vigil last evening threw thousands, including Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto.
We're here for you because we're Pittsburghers, and that's what we do. We care and take care of those in need, and we show it as a community of one.
The suspect, 46-year-old Robert Bowers, didn't have a criminal record, but he expressed anti-Semitic and Holocaust-denying messages on a social media site called Gab.com, and police say he yelled, "All Jews must die," during an exchange of gunfire with law enforcement. The U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Pennsylvania, Scott Brady, has started the approval process for seeking the death penalty. The Florida man suspected in a wave of mail bombs targeting prominent Democrats is due to appear in federal court in Miami today. 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc is then expected to be transferred to New York, where he is being charged. Mr. Sayoc was arrested Friday for explosive devices sent in manila envelopes that each had a pipe bomb, plus a timer and flash powder. None of the devices detonated. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen.
The president has directed all federal resources to be on top of this. We continue to work closely through the Secret Service and our federal protective services with the FBI and state and local officials.
She was on Fox News Sunday. Meanwhile, investigators say a van that belonged to Mr. Sayoc contained materials used to construct the explosive devices, like soldering equipment. Mr. Sayoc was said to be living in the van, which was papered with images of President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence, as well as liberal figures in crosshairs. It is 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Learn about the best state to start or grow your business at michiganbusiness.org. the shipment of multiple suspected explosive devices to high-profile critics of President Trump illustrates how difficult it can be for delivery companies to detect dangerous items before they reach their destination. All the packages containing the devices so far have been identified as suspicious, and they've been intercepted by law enforcement authorities before they were delivered to their intended targets, which include former President Obama. No one has been harmed. Here's Nathan Bomey, business reporter at USA Today. Nathan, how tough is it to screen?
Ultimately, a lot of these packages aren't screened at all. When there's just so many packages sent throughout the U.S. that it's very difficult for them to actually, you know, apply X-ray scanners, for example, to see what's inside every single one.
Is it just the volume? I think you said there's something like 34 million packages a day that are delivered.
Yeah, and that's only UPS and FedEx. Doesn't even count the USPS and all the mail that they handle. So we're talking about tens of millions of packages going through these facilities every day. That's just a volume that, you know, you can't think about. You know, how long it takes to, you know, put a human being through a scanner at the airport. I mean, if you're talking about tens of millions of packages, you know, that this is an order of magnitude that we simply can't handle when every single package going through a screener. But what they can do, and they are doing, is training sorters and handlers to identify certain characteristics that that might flag a package as potentially suspicious.
The thinking about this is that they're just dropping this in some public mailbox so they don't have to walk into a post office and get whatever there is they're shipping weighed, right? Because then they wind up on some sort of security camera. Is that what's happening?
Right. Essentially, that's what's happening, and I think that's sort of the way that the terrorists often tend to do things, according to the experts. And so, you know, for the handlers at the shipping companies, what they need to look for are basically a package that has so many stamps that, you know, no one would ever do this, you know, without some sort of specific reason. Obviously, you know, sort of suspicious address labels or, you know, handwriting, that sort of thing. But, you know, the good news is any package that's put on a plane is screened, but the problem is a package that's put under a truck is typically not screened. And so ultimately, a lot of times, the last line of defense is the handlers at the actual facilities themselves. And luckily, in all the cases so far, they've been able to catch these packages.
We're speaking with USA Today business reporter Nathan Bomey. He's got a piece entitled, Why Suspected Explosive Devices Are Tough for USPS, FedEx, and UPS to Detect. Do we anticipate that this screening for truck delivery is going to get any better, or does that seem like an impossibility at this point?
Well, I do think that the technology is improving, and they are capable of doing, you know, spot checks, random checks, so to speak, and that's a good thing. I imagine that security protocols are likely tightening up in these facilities as we speak, but UPS and FedEx wouldn't reveal their plans right now. They, you know, consider that to be a security matter, and so they don't really talk about it. But I think I got to imagine that they're taking a look at their protocol here. Now, my understanding is that all the packages that have been flagged so far were sent through the mail, through the postal service. And so, the postal service has investigators who they've deployed to try to ascertain exactly how these packages got through. But the problem is, ultimately, you know, tracking these can be very difficult, and especially if they never went through a screener to begin with, then, you know, there's just the volume is just so significant that it's tough to stop it. And that's why ultimately, the last line of defense is those, you know, are the people in the mailroom. And so, you know, the good news is the government certainly had the facilities to stop these, and also the private and companies are, I think, you know, really taking a close eye at these types of packages.
Given the technology developments that have occurred since then, what about comparisons to Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber?
Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, with Ted Kaczynski, you know, it took 18 years to track down where he was, of course, and those packages were, of course, spread out over a much longer period of time than the ones we're talking about here. But I do think that, you know, it's getting easier for us to track these types of things.
Thanks, Nathan. Nathan Bomey, business reporter at USA Today. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, Indonesia's president has ordered its National Commission for Transportation Safety there to investigate the crash of a Lion airplane into the Java Sea northeast of Jakarta minutes after takeoff early today. 189 people were on board. Searchers so far have found plane debris and personal items. Vigils and interfaith gatherings to mourn and unify are being held across the country while flowers and candles pile up beneath the police tape at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue, where a man armed with a semi-automatic assault-style rifle stormed Shabbat services Saturday in the deadliest attack on Jews in the history of the United States. Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto.
Not have a place anywhere, and we will work locally to make those changes happen.
Four police officers were shot during the response at the synagogue. One remains in critical condition. Two are stable. One has been released from the hospital. Police Chief Scott Schubert.
We're going to get through this, and we're going to continue on and show what Pittsburgh's made of.
Shooting suspect Robert Bowers is hospitalized in fair condition with multiple gunshot wounds, but will be in court today to face 29 federal counts, including hate crimes. Prosecutors will seek the death penalty. Cesar Sayoc appears in federal court today in Miami before being transferred to New York, where he's being charged. He was arrested Friday in Plantation, Florida, charged with mailing pipe bombs to prominent Democrats around the country. Investigators believe Sayoc mailed a last batch of packages on Thursday, and law enforcement across the country are still on the lookout for them. The Boston Red Sox are World Series champs again, beating the LA Dodgers 5-1 in Game 5 last night. Joe Buck had the final call on Fox Sports.
Here comes a 1-2 pitch. Red Sox win the World Series. 5-1 the final tonight. And the best team in baseball wins it all in 2018.
And the Philadelphia Eagles are undefeated in England, 24-18 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags got headlines ahead of the kickoff in London when a group of players ran up a bar tab of over $60,000 Saturday and refused to pay it. Bobby's detained the four for 9 hours until the bill was settled.
Mm, 60 grand.
Four people.
Four people. On the day before an NFL game.
Uh-huh.
I see.
Jags didn't win the game, so...
Right. More drama to unfold in the coming days, I'm sure. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. There's a new national awareness campaign that's out focused on ovarian cancer, specifically its recurrence. Part of the Not On My Watch campaign includes a PSA directed by actress Cobie Smulders, who you may know from TV shows like How I Met Your Mother, where she plays the character of Robin Scherbatsky. She's also Maria Hill on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cobie, what's your message?
We're trying to empower women who have recurrent ovarian cancer to no longer watch and wait. I want women to take a more proactive stance with their health care, to educate themselves on all treatment options. I was diagnosed myself with ovarian cancer when I was just 25 years old, and I was very proactive in terms of educating myself on all of my treatment options. And this was 11 years ago. Now there's so many more available for women who are have the same diagnosis. So we have shot this wonderful PSA, which you can see on the Not On My Watch website. And in fact, if you watch it and share it, Tesoro is going to donate $5 to ovarian cancer patient organizations. So we're very excited about that. But we're trying to create awareness about ovarian cancer to bring it into conversation. You know, it is a disease that, if detected early, you can beat it, like I did, but yeah. I'm a very rare case. You know, 85% of women who have advanced ovarian cancer have a recurrence. Well, and that's just not okay, in my opinion. We need to give women more options, and we need to give women some faith. And I'm excited to be here as a survivor to start this conversation and bring some more awareness.
You use a scary word there in recurrence. How do you cope with that, knowing that you've already survived it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, I live in fear of it coming back. I think when you go through something like that and you're tested in that way, it is you're always going to have fear that something's going to come back, that you're going to get sick again. So I'm very vigilant in terms of my health care, in terms of, you know, getting a yearly checkup, doing what I have to do to keep myself healthy. But it certainly is a scary thing, and it's something that a lot of women who are dealing with ovarian cancer have to deal with all the time.
Yeah. We're speaking with actress Cobie Smulders. You know her from How I Met Your Mother and shows like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's part of an ovarian cancer awareness campaign called Not On My Watch. She herself was diagnosed at the age of 25, 11 years ago. If the internet is correct, I saw that you have a couple of kids. Do you have open conversations with them about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's important for girls, especially young girls, to understand their bodies and understand all of their, any, to educate themselves on how their bodies work and what the risks are. In terms of illness and disease without terrifying them.
Yeah.
But, you know, my kids are still young, and it's about really just being healthy, about taking care of your body. I think that there's also, like, there's a connection in terms of really listening to your body. With ovarian cancer, there isn't a screening. You know, you can't, it's not like breast cancer. You can't go get a mammogram. This is something that you have to be intuitive about.
Thanks, Cobie. Actress Cobie Smulders. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, October 29. Gordon Deal with Rasa K, who's in for Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. An Indonesian plane goes down with 189 on board. A vigil in Pittsburgh for victims of the synagogue massacre. Mail bomb suspect due in court today. Central American migrant caravan took a break in Mexico yesterday. IBM is acquiring the software and tech firm Red Hat for about $34 billion, largest acquisition ever for IBM. Red Sox beat the Dodgers to win the World Series in five games and preparing for the blooming of a corpse flower in New Hampshire. That story in about 20 minutes. Democrats in Washington state are counting on healthcare anxiety and women's enthusiasm to flip a long-held GOP House seat that's located outside Seattle. Is it enough? Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Jamerson. Joshua, what do we have?
Well, basically what you've got is you've got a mixture of factors that are at play in a lot of races around the country, the chief one being that the Republican incumbent in the district there is retiring. And so you've got a battle between a longtime Republican in the state, almost became the governor a few years ago, and a brand new political candidate, first time candidate, who is a pediatrician from the area. And we're seeing it play out in districts across the country where there are these suburban women voters who the GOP is at risk of losing. And the thing about this district in particular outside of Seattle is the GOP going to lose those voters at a faster clip than the district was recently redrawn and faster than the rural voters can keep up with the Republicans? So there is a bit of that, but also the Republicans in the suburbs have voted for Rep. Dave Reichert before, and if they can keep them in the fold, then that's where the Democrats will have a problem in this district.
I mean, kind of polling to indicate how things are right now?
There's internal polling on both sides that show it is a statistical tie, so both sides are convinced that it's going to come down to turnout, and you see that playing out across the country where it's really about who can mobilize the voters the most, and we're seeing in polls that national polls that Democrats are more energized than Republicans, and that's been the trend all cycle.
All right, so the Democrat who's running here, who's the pediatrician, is it Kim Schreier?
That is Kim Schreier.
Okay, so she's been really hitting hard on healthcare stuff.
That's right. I mean, she uses it as a direct appeal to people who are nervous about their healthcare costs. They're seeing their costs go up, and who have pre-existing conditions. And she appeals to them directly as a pediatrician in their communities. She's got thousands of patients that are in that district. She appeals to them as a type 1 diabetic herself, as someone who has a pre-existing condition, and uses that as part of her pledge to support that provision of Obamacare. So it's a very direct appeal that Democrats in Washington State and in the Capitol believe make her a very compelling candidate.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Jamerson. His piece is called Outside Seattle, an Election Battle Between the Countryside and New Suburbia. It's the 8th District there. The Republican, Dino Rossi, his issue is what? Anything he's been driving in particular?
Taxes. He's actually one of the Republicans. When they passed the tax bill last year, they thought that it was going to be the number one issue on the campaign trail. And Dino Rossi actually, because the district is so affluent, feels that he can actually be on message on this. And he has tried to be, and that is the number one thing. I went canvassing with some of his volunteers, and that is the thing that they push. That's on his flyers. That's in his stump speeches. And the tell of this district is, will that be enough to keep some of these Republicans in the fold, or will they deflect to send a check on Donald Trump to Washington?
Because this is a long-held Republican district, correct?
It was drawn in the 1980s after the census in 1980, and it has never sent a Democrat to Washington.
Oh, wow.
But even though it has that GOP bent in congressional races, it tends to vote Democrats for president. Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump there by about 3 points.
And Ms. Schreier, you said, is getting support actually from Seattle, where she does not have voters, right?
Right. It's really interesting. I was out there, and I was trying to talk to people at an event of hers who lived in the district, and they kept telling me they were from Seattle. And that's common. You see that in other races where people even sometimes cross state lines to get into races. They volunteer or send money. So this is just another example of that, where people in Seattle, you know, their districts are reliably Democratic, and if they want to be a part of the blue wave, or what they think will be a blue wave, they keep hearing about it on TV, and the closest way they can be a part of it is to go to this swing district, which is the only toss-up race rated by the Cook Bullet Report in Washington State. So there's a lot of Seattle support for her.
Thanks, Joshua. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Jamerson. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if we've learned anything from the news over the years, it's that people visiting Thailand should take care to mind their P's and Q's while there, or face some harsh punishment as a result. This was lost on two tourists who had a few too many one night and are facing 10 years in jail for graffiti tagging an ancient wall there. 22-year-old Canadian Brittany Schneider and 23-year-old Lee Furlong of the UK were caught on surveillance video spray painting a message on the wall of the 13th century Taipei Gate. They admitted to the crime. They admitted the crime to police, and they also admitted they were, quote, ridiculously drunk at the time. They face a court hearing in about 2 weeks and could face up to 10 years in jail, a fine of around $30,000, or both.
Wow.
Yes.
In what stage of drunkenness do you have to be to go out and find spray paint?
Yeah, right. Well, apparently ridiculously. I guess we
that's the term. Yeah.
We found that out. Yes, it's ridiculously so to go find the spray paint and then, you know, apparently though, I guess they spelled one of their names, I think, was what they actually tagged the wall with. And I mean, I guess they weren't drunk, you know, too drunk to spell their name correctly enough that the police were able to sort of recognize it and I guess track them down.
13th century.
Yes.
Wall.
Yes. Yeah. With red spray paint, I believe it was nice. The color. So that's not going to come off too easily.
And I just can imagine like how this goes down in a Thai court. Your Honor, forgive us. We were just really drunk. So we'll be going back home now. No, yeah, 10 years.
Yeah.
Right, or something like that.
Yeah. Yes. And you know what, Gordon? It was a hard-fought game, but the Los Angeles Rams juggernaut was too much for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers yesterday, with L.A. coming out on top 29-27. Afterward, Rodgers did his his normal post-game press conference, but a TV graphic on the local Fox affiliate in Milwaukee had a little bit of an error in it, captioning the quarterback as Packers head coach. This, of course, was not lost on social media, as many took the time to point out that Rodgers, despite losing the game, had apparently gotten a promotion. Others, not happy with the direction of the team under their current head coach, Mike McCarthy, wondered aloud who they could pay to make this mistake a reality.
Ouch.
McCarthy's taken a little bit of heat lately because it's been a while since the team has contended for a Super Bowl.
Right.
So they feel like Rodgers' best years are kind of being wasted here.
Mm. He's got one. He's got one with the Packers.
They've had one, yes.
Right. Considered kind of a really good offensive mind. But
yes.
His playoff record, I think, is a little suspect. I think that's starting to wear thin on Packers fans now.
Packers fans start to think that there might be a change in the works, or there should be a change in the works anyway.
I watched the tail end of that game, and the Packers had a chance.
Yeah.
After the Rams had scored, the Packers were getting the ball back on the kickoff, and Ty Montgomery chose to run the kickoff back.
Right.
Not only eating up time on the clock for Aaron Rodgers, but then fumbling the ball on the return back to the Rams.
Yes. Yeah. Nothing went well on that play.
Right. With never a good idea to take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands with plenty of time to march down the field and kick a field goal.
Yes. If there's anybody who you know at least has a chance to make that happen, it would be him.
Right. Thank you, Mike. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Monday. Don't forget we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly as well on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. Child care costs are on the rise. Parents across the country last year spent on average between $9,000 and $9,600 on daycare for one child. That's about 7.5% higher than the year before, according to new figures from a group called Child Care Aware of America. In every region, child care costs are roughly double the price of a year's tuition to an in-state public university. Child care costs for one infant and a four-year-old are cheapest in the South at around $17,000 a year and most expensive in the Northeast at nearly $25,000. And how about the growing bite that it takes on family budgets? A married couple making the national median income will have to devote 10.6% of their money for childcare, up from 10.2% the year before. Childcare costs smack single parents even harder. Childcare costs can eat up 37% of a single parent's household income. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has recommended childcare costs should account for no more than 7% of family income. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Boeing is offering condolences and technical assistance into the probe of today's crash of a Lion Air plane off the Indonesian coast. Flight 610 requested to return to Jakarta shortly after takeoff and disappeared from radar minutes later. Suspected Pittsburgh synagogue shooter Robert Bowers will be in court today to face 29 federal counts, including hate crimes. Prosecutors will apply to the Justice Department for the death penalty in the case. The Tree of Life Synagogue is accepting donations through its website for physical repairs to the building and for the survivors and victims' families after the Saturday assault in which 11 worshippers were killed and 6 others injured. Rabbi Hazan Jeffrey Myers is calling for a message of peace from our country's leaders.
Everyone has a voice. But again, our elected officials, they need to lead. And we need to see leadership.
Volunteers brought over a dozen therapy dogs to help console those in pain after clergy and lay leaders from multiple congregations met in Pittsburgh to discuss how to move forward. Cesar Sayoc appears in federal court today. The 56-year-old suspected of putting at least a dozen pipe bombs in small manila envelopes and mailing them to prominent critics of President Trump last week. The Florida man was arrested Friday in Plantation, the van he was living in impounded, and people who crossed paths with him over the years describing him as a disconnected, angry loner. A caravan of several thousand Central American migrants moving through southern Mexico rested Sunday near the town of Tamaulipas, while Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen repeated on Fox News Sunday that the caravan will be denied entrance.
Do not come. You will not be allowed in. There is a right way to emigrate to the United States, and this is not it.
Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto has launched a program promising shelter, medical attention, schooling, and jobs to Central Americans who agree to stay in southern Mexico states far from the U.S. border. The Titanic II set sail in 2022, following the same Southampton, England itinerary to New York route that the famed Titanic tried in 1912. Would you want to take a ride on this ship? The replica is being built by the same company, the Blue Star Line, which is promising the same interiors and cabin layout is the original, while integrating modern safety procedures, navigation methods, and 21st century technology.
Yeah.
I'd be spooked.
Yeah. I'll just wave from the pier as it pulls away from port. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us just in time for Halloween. A rare corpse flower that gets its nickname from its putrid smell is expected to bloom next week at a greenhouse at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Named Morphe, the Associated Press says the plant is native to Sumatra's equatorial rainforest and has a long, pointy stalk with a skirt-like covering and tiny yellow flowers at its base. It blooms for just several days when it does. It has an odor described as rotting flesh, a decaying animal, or even soiled baby diapers. The plant at the college in Hanover is decorated with bats, spiders, and an arm reaching out of the soil, holding a sign that says, "Help me." It's been growing several inches a day. By Friday morning, it reached nearly 6 feet. Visitors can go to the greenhouse or see the plant on Dartmouth's webcam. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.